Start me up.
You gotta get started up now. You've been started up by Craig. You're Ryan who's been started up. I'm Tony. I'm in the process of starting up. Craig's there, man.
We're here. We're started. Craig's here.
Craig's here. Craig's starting us up. Hey, we're here. It's good to see you, Ryan.
Good to see you, Tony. This is episode 57.
I'm so glad that we started doing this bit because I'm never going to forget what episode we're on anymore.
I know, right?
We used to do that constantly. I'm pretty sure our numbers are probably actually wrong. So these episodes have all been switched at birth.
That's all right. Yeah, we're correct now.
Yeah. So, by the way, we're back up. We are back in position 52 in Canadian fantasy football or Australian fantasy football podcasts.
Hell yeah. That's like 200 positions up from where we were before. I don't know what's going on over in Australia, but somehow they like us.
Cheers. Cheers to the Aussies.
Cheers. I will have a Foster's tonight.
Fuck yeah. All right, so we have some outside-the-box 57s this week, Ryan. Why don't you start us off?
Sure. One guy that was Chicago Bears great, part of the 85 Super Bowl team, who's now currently the color commentator on WBBM for the Bears broadcasts, Mr. Tom Thayer.
Tom Thayer, Hall of Famer.
I wanted to profile him, too, because not only is he Chicago Bear, but he's from the Chicagoland area. He was born in Joliet.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh boy.
Joliet is an even more Chicago, like, to add to it. Like, his dad was, I guess, a lineman for ComEd for 43 years.
Nice.
Yeah. It was interesting little facts when I was looking at some stuff about him. Like I said, he grew up in Joliet. So naturally, he went to Joliet Catholic High School.
Sure.
He helped that team win two consecutive IHSA state championships in 77 and 78, I believe.
And Joliet's always had a real good
right
high school football program.
And in 1978, in the playoffs, they outscored their teams in the playoffs. Take in mind, the teams they played had 0 points. They outscored them 106-0 in the entire playoffs. It was crazy. Yeah, wow. And they were 13-0 both seasons.
Not surprising.
He's a product of Notre Dame.
Okay.
Did pretty good there. Honorable All-American. And graduated with a media communications degree, so naturally he went into commentating local sports and stuff like that.
You know who Tom Thayer is? I just realized this right now, Ryan. You know who Tom Thayer is?
What?
He's Al Bundy, if Al Bundy went pro.
A little bit, yeah, I guess, yeah, if you think about it. It was kind of weird when he was drafted by the Bears because there was like a USFL thing going on too.
Oh, curious you should bring that up.
And he was drafted in 83, but ended up playing for a different team, the Chicago, or not Chicago, but a team called the Blitz.
Okay.
And after that dissolved, the Bears picked him up in 85, and he was part of that 85 Bears team.
Sure was.
He's done shows with Keith Van Horn, bunch of different stuff. Famous Chicago sports commentator.
If you're from the area, you know Tom Thayer. It's just how it is.
Yeah, right. So, yeah, he's all-around good guy. Part of the 85 Bears team. I figured I would bring a little Tom Thayer into the mix.
My favorite is, and I think it's still shaped the way I react to football, when you listen to the games on the radio, if there's a fumble, he always just yells, "Ball!" Like, it's so funny. Like, you can tell that that's still his player instinct coming out, you know?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, he ended up, he ended up playing 8 seasons for the Bears, and he only missed 4 games. Played 130 games.
Legendary.
So that's Tom Thayer.
Cool.
I also have a secondary guy because it's kind of important in football history, but I'll let you do your guy next.
Well, I have a couple of shorties here real quick.
Sure. So
I wanted to just mention number 57. You've got, hang on, let me pull it up. It's so funny. Frank Nunley. Nunley is a guy that didn't really do anything. He played for San Francisco, but
This was so funny. Tony texted me earlier in the week with this guy's nickname. This is so great.
His nickname is Fudge Hammer.
Oh, yes. One of the greatest football names I think we've come upon so far.
There's a video where he's explaining where the nickname was, and it was because he hit hard, but he was sweet, so they called him Fudge Hammer. And I'm like, oh, okay. And then the quick one I wanted to do was Dwayne Rudd, who had two notable plays in his career. He was a linebacker forever. The first one, well, actually happened later in time. He recovered a fumble against the Bears. He was on that really good, remember that 97 Minnesota Vikings team that should have won the Super Bowl, but they missed that field goal in the NFC Championship?
Yeah.
He was on that team. They beat the shit out of the Bears that year. It was like 55-7 or something like that. And he returned a fumble for a touchdown, and for the last like 10 yards, moonwalked backwards. But then also, when he played for Kansas City, they were playing the Chiefs, or they were playing the Browns on week one, and it was the last play of the game, and he sacked, or so he thought, sacked the quarterback for the Chiefs, and pulled his helmet off in celebration on the field, thinking the game was over. But really what had happened was the quarterback had fumbled on the sack. The offensive lineman had picked it up and run it 20 yards downfield. And since the ball was still live and he threw his helmet off his head and the game was still going on the field, Cleveland got a 15-yard penalty. Kansas City got an untimed extra down and kicked the game-winning field goal. So that's Dwayne Rudd.
Damn.
All right, so hit me with your other 57, and then I got one more for you, too.
Okay. I'll try to be kind of quick. I'm going to quote Wikipedia on the play that this happened, but this next guy was a part of making Tom Brady's career. Mr. Mo Lewis, an all-time great Jet linebacker. Had over 1,200 tackles, 52 sacks, 14 interceptions, 5 touchdowns. He actually is the third longest stretch in franchise history of playing 200 games consecutive.
Ooh.
He was also the Jets captain from 97 to 03. But to run down what happened, I'm just going to go ahead and read off of Wikipedia here. He had a productive career, but he's best known for being the catalyst for starting the New England Patriots dynasty that would span 2 decades. During an early season game against the Patriots, Lewis leveled Patriots quarterback Drew Bledsoe with a hard but clean hit. Bledsoe was about to dive for the first down marker, but defensive end Sean Ellis clipped Bledsoe's ankles, resulting in Bledsoe taking the full force of the hit while standing straight up. Tom Brady, a 6th-round draft pick in 2000, was the backup quarterback and finished the game. It turned out that Lewis's hit sheared a blood vessel in Bledsoe's chest, causing Bledsoe to lose a pint of blood an hour.
Oh.
Bledsoe would never again retain his starting job. The Patriots ended up going 11-3 for the remainder of the season, culminating in the team's first Super Bowl title on February 3rd.
Yep.
And as a result, the next 2 decades, the Patriots would win 6 Super Bowl titles, and then a 7th with Tampa Bay, obviously.
So Mo Lewis ruined the Jets because they got the shit kicked out of them by Tom Brady for the next 20 years.
The hit appeared on NFL's list of 100 greatest game changers, ranking at 82. So that's Mo Lewis.
Well. All right. I got stiff competition here, but I think I got one for you, Ryan. You ready?
Sure.
It's not a player number. It's the year 1957, and specifically a Supreme Court case from that year, Radovich versus the NFL.
Ooh. We're in the 50s, huh?
It is a landmark antitrust case in professional football. So let me give you some background real quick. Bill Radovich. Yeah. He's an all-pro guard for the Detroit Lions for a few years, leaves for World War II, comes back, and the Lions still own his rights, you know, so he requests a trade to the Rams to be closer to his dad, who had, like, a terminal illness. Okay. So that was denied. He plays his last year in Detroit, and then he moves to L.A. to be closer to his dad. By the way, guess what team he fucking signs with? The Los Angeles Dons.
Oh, that's right. The LA Dons.
Of the All-America Football Conference. So
clearly mob run.
Oh, of course. So the AAFC popped up in 1946, and it was an actual problem for the NFL.
Oh, yeah.
The owners were richer, and therefore they could pay players more. And since they were a national league, they had franchises all over the country, which was a huge benefit over the NFL, because the NFL lost a lot of players to the war. So Fred Medel Jr., the owner of the Lions, tells Radovich, if you go play in this other league, you're going to be blackballed from the NFL for 5 years. And this dude, Radovich, is like, well, fuck you. No, I want to go be by my dad. Fuck the NFL. So he goes to play for the Dons for 2 years. And then he gets an offer to be a player slash coach for the San Francisco Clippers of the Pacific Coast Professional Football League.
Wow, I have no idea any of these leagues ever existed.
Dude, me neither. Me fucking neither. So the PCPFL had some ties to the NFL. So when they found out that Radovich was offered a job, the league talked to the Clippers, and the Clippers pulled their offer.
What?
Right? So Radovich ends up becoming a waiter to make ends meet. He's waiting a table one day at the Brown Derby restaurant in Los Angeles for a guy named Joseph Eliotto. And Joseph Eliotto, turns out, he's a former antitrust legislator with the Justice Department.
Damn, so, the Justice League.
Right? So they talk. Eliotto writes up his legal case on the back of a cocktail napkin for Radovich. So at the time, and I'm pretty sure still now, Major League Baseball is the only major league in this country not subject to antitrust laws.
Really?
So there's no other pro baseball league that'll pop up from time to time. MLB has a monopoly on professional baseball in America.
Okay.
So this case about him being able to go play for another league and getting blackballed makes it to the Supreme Court. They rule in Radovich's favor that the NFL does not have a monopoly on football or football players in America, so they send the case back down to be relitigated. Radovich's attorney's like, yo, dude, let's just take this payout of $42,000. And they argue about it for 3 days. Radovich decides to settle, and they said that he regretted that decision for the rest of his life. So it's a bit of a frustrating ending, but Bill Radovich was the first guy to take the NFL to court and win. And the NFL being subject to antitrust legislation has allowed for a couple different things. It's allowed owners to relocate teams more efficiently, and sure, it's also allowed other professional football leagues to be created and thrive. You were talking about the USFL with Tom Thayer. When we watch the XFL this spring, we can think about Bill Radovich when we're watching some really shitty football in March.
Excellent.
So that's awesome. Radovich versus the NFL.
That's awesome. I love how this podcast is slowly turning into like a history lesson. I'm loving it.
Yeah, dude, it's the best. Yeah. And now that you've heard the best, let's cut to ads. So we're going to go there right now.
Coming soon to the TH Fantasy Podcast Network, a 9-part true crime miniseries, Haunted, the Disappearance of Elijah Moore.
I drafted him in round 7, and every week I see zeros. Is he okay? It's 2022 and Elijah Moore is missing. Follow me, Katie Steele, former investigative reporter for the Hamilton Spectator, as I take a deep dive investigating the disappearance of a young man once considered so promising. Was it injuries? Could it have been the return of Zach Wilson that's hamstrung his production? Or was it something deeper? Who are you? Can you tell me your name?
Who I am is not important.
I said I don't want to talk!
Just tell us what you know!
Executive produced by Ryan Edgecombe, Tony Martin, and Sarah Koenig, Haunted debuts December 5th on the TH Fantasy Podcast Network.
And we're back.
All right, here we go. Beautiful. Part two. Ryan, we're going to play a game. Now, I didn't prep you for this at all, so we're going to get some real-life live reactions here.
I'm excited to see Tony, like, text me what we're going to talk about, and he's like, don't worry about this. I got this. What do you got for me?
And you know what? It's because this is a life-or-death situation here, Ryan.
Uh-oh.
You've been kidnapped by Australian gang members, all right?
Oh, no.
And not just regular run-of-the-mill Australian gang members, members of the notorious biker gang, the Coffin Cheaters.
It's well known that Australian gang members do not carry guns. They carry boomerangs.
They do, and didgeridoos.
That's right.
All right, so they're sitting around going, and they've got you locked up, and your only way to survive is to play bad fantasy football, Russian roulette.
Oh, no.
I am going to give you a pick between two players at four positions, and you need to pick one of each, and your four has to outscore the other four for you to survive.
All right, let's try this.
All right, Ryan. You don't have a choice. You are locked up. All right, bad fantasy, Russian roulette. Here we go. Quarterback, pick one. Tom Brady versus Seattle or Matthew Stafford versus Arizona.
I'm going to have to go with Tom Brady. I mean, do we even know if Stafford's playing? He's in concussion protocol.
They said he's progressing along well.
Oh, okay, that's right. I forgot that the NFL, like, you know, as long as you can say the ABCs, you know, you're fine.
Look, nobody saw it on TV, so no one really cares. Did it really happen if we didn't see it on TV?
That's true, and I don't think they officially called it a concussion. They called it a head injury because now when you call it a concussion, you have to be out for one game.
Right. So are you still going with Tom Brady? Gun to your head.
Yeah, I like Brady. Seattle's defense has been letting up a lot of points this week, and if Brady can't do anything against Seattle, he's done. He's just old.
Well, if Brady can't do anything against Seattle, you're done too. Next. Najee Harris versus New Orleans or Antonio Gibson versus Philadelphia.
I like Harris this week. And I'm not just saying that because I'm biased because we have to play him in our experts league.
Yeah.
I mean, he's still getting 20 carries a game. It's just he's not doing anything with it. So let's hope that he does something with those 20 plus carries.
Okay.
And I hate everyone saying, "Oh, let's Jaylen Warren's gonna get more carries this week." Right. Blah blah blah. It's Najee Harris. Come on,
right? Get over yourselves. All right. Well, that's, you know what? The first two decisions seem to have been easy for you, but we're gonna roll out a real shit factory here on this one.
Okay.
Brandon Cooks versus the New York Giants or Jerry Jeudy versus the Tennessee Titans.
Oh my God.
Gun to your head. Who is
it? Oh my God. No, I don't want to go Jeudy. Tennessee's defense is too good. They suck against the rush, but they're really good against the pass. So we got to go the other direction.
Going Brandon Cooks against the Giants.
Let's do it.
All right. Finally, last but not least, this one I think is a little spicy. Evan Ingram versus Kansas City or Cole Kmet versus Detroit?
Oh my God. Cole Kmet is so hot right now. He's like Hansel.
He is truly like Hansel. He's incredibly hot.
And Fields is just becoming like a superstar. I got to go Kmet. I know Ingram is questionable. He's probably going to play. And I do really like Jacksonville's matchup against Kansas City this week. I actually think Jacksonville is going to keep that game pretty competitive.
Okay.
but Komet's just so hot right now.
He truly is. He's very hot right now. So your four in the Ryan Bad Fantasy Football Russian Roulette are Tom Brady, Najee Harris, Brandon Cooks again, Cole Komet, and you're going to be going against the team of Matthew Stafford, Antonio Gibson, Jerry Jeudy, and Evan Engram for the right to survive.
Right.
Well done.
And it is Russian Roulette, so whoever loses out of those four players, they die, right?
They're killed. One of these players will monkey's paw. Never mind. All right, I'm not going to put anything on tape, but I do want to mention before we move on to part three that the best part about having a podcast is you can go back and find us talking about how good Justin Fields was going to be from like episode one. So
I know.
Suck it. All right. Yeah. Now we're moving on to one of our favorite segments. It's actually the favorite segment. It's
Ryan's mid-tier, kind of shitty tight end of the week.
It's funny because that you had Evan Engram in your Russian roulette, because I actually had him as like, he's like the most mid-tier out of these next three guys I'm going to talk about.
Okay.
I have him in for a touchdown. He may not necessarily get a bunch of yards, but I have him in for a touchdown this week. So all right. Evan Engram. But if Evan Engram doesn't play, guess who's gonna score a touchdown? Mr. Dan Arnold.
Ooh, Dan Arnold.
Hey, Arnold.
Going back to the well, Ryan.
But my super shitty mid-tier tight end of the week. It's not even mid-tier. It's low tier.
Oh, I saw it on your list.
At 4,300 this week, Mr. Tegan Quitoriano. He caught a touchdown last week, and guess what? Davis Mills is going to get him another touchdown this week.
Oh,
Mr. Tegan Quitoriano. And when he caught that touchdown last week, it was so funny listening to the announcers trying to pronounce his last name. It's not even that hard. Quitoriano, just say it. They were like, Quitoriano.
Right. It's literally like it's a mouthful, but it's pronounced exactly like it's spelled.
Yeah, it's phonetically out there. You shouldn't have to struggle over it.
Yeah, get your shit together, announcers.
But that's going to be my super sleeper, and that's going to save us a lot of money in some DFS lineups this week.
Oh, at 4,200, absolutely.
I mean, all he really has to do is catch like one pass.
Right, at that point?
Yeah.
So I'm going to do my Jamal Agnew line play of the week. Unfortunately, Ryan, Jamal Agnew is $4,700 on FanDuel.
My God, he went down another $100. Oh, shit.
Keeps getting cheaper. I might have to go tight ends at some point. Last week's play of Samari Toure got us two catches for 34 yards, which not great. But if you recall, because we have that group chat with Waleed where we talk shit about each other's picks, he had that touchdown pass from Rodgers that was just tipped right before it went to him. He almost had a 40-yard touchdown as well.
Yep.
So, doesn't count. The hunt continues for a discount DFS play under the Jamal Agnew line. So, Agnew is one of the cheapest non-tight ends on the slate. So, I scoured far and wide, man. I was like, oh, Josh Gordon. Oh, no, Josh Gordon got cut. Oh, Velus Jones. Oh, Velus Jones was inactive last week. But I think I found, no, I know I found my Jamal Agnew line play of the week.
What you got?
It's a name you're familiar with. I'm not shedding any new light here, but it's a deep, 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 deep play. River Craycraft.
Excellent. Ooh.
River Craycraft.
I could feel some Craycraft juju. I feel like it.
So River Craycraft came over with Mike McDaniel from San Francisco.
Yeah. Right?
He has 6 targets this year. Not great. He's got 2 catches this year for 13 yards, Ryan.
Excellent.
Both of those catches, though, touchdowns.
Hell yeah.
So he's only caught 2 passes, both for touchdowns. So this is the definition of you're going to get 0 points or you're going to get 7 points. So really, I'm rooting for River Craycraft to score a touchdown here, so I look pretty smart. But what I'm really rooting for is for Jamal Agnew to score some fucking touchdowns, because this is awful.
Yes. Yes.
That's what I'm looking for this week. Give me two touchdowns from Jamal Agnew, please.
Hell yeah.
All right. So now we're on to our last segment of the night on this lovely Friday evening. Let's make a super flex. Ryan, our super flex cashed pretty well.
We've actually been, we started this like 4 weeks ago. I think we're 3 out of 4 in cashing. It was only last week we didn't cash. And the one week we got one like $30. And I think we got 12 this week.
Yeah, we cashed hard, man. Like, we're not just, we enter like a 350 person tourney, but we end up doing real well for ourselves. We were 29th out of 357 last week. And nice. We were 7th and we were 17th. So we've been flirting with top 30 finishes 3 out of the last 4 weeks. So what do you say we keep it going here and whoop some ass here?
You want to do the $5 single entry again?
As always, 357, baby. So we haven't talked really about our favorite fantasy plays this week. So as we kind of fumble over what we like and who we like, you're going to be hearing us talking and feeding back off each other for the first time of the week. So Ryan, as is tradition, you take a quarterback and I take a quarterback. Who do you like this week?
Right. Well, really quick, let's just run down some stuff. I mean, quarterbacks I'm looking at this week, Mahomes, Fields, Tua, Prescott. I actually kind of like Garoppolo's matchup this week. The Chargers are shit at defense, and Garoppolo's got McCaffrey, Debo, Ayuk, all these guys, all these weapons in the offense to work with.
Yep.
And he could save us a lot of money. I also, like I was saying earlier, really like Trevor Lawrence this week. I know I'm Jaguars bias, but...
Well, we're trying to continue our high caches. So right. I'd rather pay up at quarterback and figure out where everything else falls when the time comes.
Just pick one?
Yeah, I mean... I'm looking at our lists. We like a lot of the same guys.
I mean, are you going to pick Fields? I feel like we need to have Fields.
If I pick Fields, I'm stacking him with Amon-Ra. That's my stack for the week, because Fields is going to get us most of our points by running.
What if we do like Fields and Tua?
Fields and Tua sounds great. Fields and Mahomes sounds great. I think
generally the lineups that we cash, we go pretty ham at quarterback. We pick like the really good guys.
Yeah.
Except for last week we had Rodgers, but
we still crushed it.
I know. But that gave us the opportunity, I think, to pay up for like Derrick Henry and who was the other ham running back last week?
We went with ETN and Ken Walker.
Yeah, that's right.
I mean, if you want to do something where we do like a Andy Dalton, Chris Olave.
But you know what? I was looking at, it's something going on with Dalton, because I was looking at the NFL.com fantasy league earlier, and he was only projected to get like 0.5 points.
That must have been a mistake, because he's doing fine. I don't think he's going to throw 4 touchdowns, but he's going to get us 15 points. I just don't know if that's worth saving $1,000 in salary compared to Tua or right. Justin Fields.
Nah, screw it. Let's go Fields and Tua.
Love it.
So that means we got to have St. Brown. St. Brown's good, right? He's
bad. Yeah.
Where is
he? He's 6,900, so he's super cheap too. I mean, we just go Tyreek. Like, why are we even?
Right. So we go Fields, St. Brown, Tua, Tyreek.
We got to go cheap tight end here.
You want to do Quitoriano?
Let's do Teagan Quitoriano for $4,200, Ryan.
Screw it. Let's do it.
$4,300, Ryan. 43. Yeah,
43. Okay.
So who are your favorite running backs this week, Ryan? We can afford one, probably.
If we did Henry and Etienne, let's see, that's 8 and 9. No, that's not, that's too much. Yeah.
Or, I mean, if we drop down from Hill to Waddle, no, that's still 4,700.
I think I want Etienne.
Okay.
So if we put in Etienne, okay, so we're going to have to pay down. Yeah, tell me your DeAndre Swift shit.
So
that's going to put us a lot of exposure to that game, which is no problem, because that's hopefully going to be high scoring.
Yeah, Swift, he gets 4.24 yards before contact. And according to PFF, Detroit versus Chicago, offensive line versus defensive line, they're already projected to have the best yards before contact. So I think Swift has a chance to explode, but I really think it's like we do Barkley and ETN and we figure out a way to pay down somewhere else to get a better flex. Because
I also don't like Swift this week. Because if we look at the history of the season, Jamal Williams is getting all of the touchdowns.
Right, because Swift doesn't have any touches inside the five.
Right.
So, hear me out here. I don't care what it takes. I want Barkley and I want ETN. Let me tell you something about Barkley here. He's playing against the Texans. The Texans have allowed the PPR overall running back 1 or 2 in 5 of their 8 games this season.
All right, well, we're going to have to dramatically do something, because if we put Barkley and Etienne in, then we only have $3,800 left.
Right. So I figure we need to cut about $1,200, $1,300 from somewhere, right?
I mean, what's the difference between Hill and Waddle?
It's only $1,000. I'm also fine with pivoting off Amon-Ra. You got to, if you're playing Tua, you're playing Tua with Tyreek. I like George Pickens at 5,600 a lot.
Hey, what if it's a Kadarius Toney week? What if he gets his shit together? And
it's not a Kadarius Toney week, Ryan. Don't lie to yourself. I know, I want it to be too. What do you think about Chase Claypool at 58 to go with Fields instead of Amon-Ra?
I think the Bears are going to be passing that much, though.
I think Chase Claypool was on the field for 16 passing snaps. And he was targeted on 38% of those snaps last week.
All right, I'm going to put him in. And then let's see if there's let's see if there's a decent person at 4,900. It's either that or we put in like Lawrence with ETN. And then that'll... But I want 2 exposure. Damn it. It sucks that Fields is so much money this week now.
I know. Got to really roll up our sleeves on this one, Ryan.
I know.
We might have to go cheaper than Claypool. We might have to go somewhere cheaper. So you said Hollins at 5,500, which would put us at 5,200 for the last flex.
Cheaper than Claypool, you mean?
Yeah. But I don't see anyone there either. KJ Osborne, Foster Moreau, Traquan Smith, Isaiah McKenzie, like Philip Dorsett, that's bad.
We can pay down Tua, like I said, and go someone cheaper than Tua or Fields.
I honestly think we probably got to cut bait with Fields. I think if we get a cheaper quarterback than Fields, then everything opens up a lot better.
All right, let's look at Fields. And what about Prescott? Well, that's only $500.
Fuck it, dude. If we both like Lawrence, let's roll with Lawrence.
All right, let's put in Lawrence.
Lawrence and ETN.
And Barkley. And Tyree, Quitoriano, Tua.
What do you think about
6,500 left?
I know maybe. He's 7,000, but what do you think about Juju as a run back?
Or we could pair... That's too much. If we didn't have Etienne, I do like Kirk this week.
Okay.
But I
do too.
I think Etienne's the better play though.
And right, so if we want to pay down even further, we can, but the only option I like in that range, honestly, is Sutton at 62.
Josh Palmer at 66. Got Ayuk.
I like Palmer too, to be honest.
He's gonna get targets. Allen's already not playing again.
And yeah, I'll go with Palmer.
Williams, let's go Palmer.
All right, so then 5,700 for our flex.
Man, this one's tough.
I want Pickens here.
Yeah?
Yep.
All right.
I think this lineup is weird, but I like it. I actually, at first I'm like, I'm not going to like this one as much, but I like it a lot. All right. So we got, Ryan, read them off for me.
So we got Tua paired with Tyreek. We got Lawrence with ETN. We got Saquon, Josh Palmer, Teagan Quitoriano, and George Pickens.
This is such a weird lineup. I fucking love it.
I know, right?
It's unique.
I just entered it.
Hell yeah. All right. So that's 57 for us. And we're going to move on and enjoy the rest of our Friday nights. Thank you for joining us, everybody. We appreciate you. This was kind of on the longer side for an episode. We'll cut it down in post.
Yeah.
We had a good week last week. Hopefully we have another good week this week. And good luck to your teams and your fantasy teams. And don't be like me and lose to... I don't even want to talk about it. Anyways, fuck Brian Dennis. Good night, everybody. Have a great weekend.
Hey, everyone, have a good Sunday with football. Remember, there's a 8 a.m. game in Germany.
Get ready. Good night, everybody.
Peace.
Fudge hammer.